Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you've called us here for a reason and that you have things you're going to work into our lives today. And so, Lord, I thank you for the promise of your presence and the power of your word and your Holy Spirit. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Okay, we've been talking about shape, and we're going to wrap up the fifth component of that today, although the series still has a couple more weeks so we can talk about what to do with it. And so as we get started this morning, I brought my wife's exercise rubber band here. And what I'd like you to do for the moment is to think about this as your shape, okay, which is probably, it's round, so it's probably closer to my shape. But for the moment, if you would think about this as your shape, what's going on inside this circle? This is your sweet spot, kind of your comfort zone, if you will. These are the things that when you do them, you feel very much at home here. It feels very, very much just you. And so the ideal thing would be if you could live your entire life right here. But what this tells you is not your ability to do something. It just tells you your preferred way of operating, if you will. And your personality and your gifting and all of that stuff worked at its best in here. But the truth of the matter, you can, like any other rubber band, even though you prefer to be in here, you can stretch out here and do these other things that are outside of your shape. You know, the dilemma with that is, yes, you can do it, but if you get yourself stretched way out here and you stay here, it wears you out. It will utterly exhaust you. If you're in a job that's outside your shape, you come home exhausted every day. You know, if you're not functioning in that area, then it wears you out. And we know that when you stretch a rubber band and you keep it stretched too long, it weakens the elasticity. It no longer functions the way it's supposed to. And if you stretch it too far, the silly thing will snap. And so will you. And so if you live too far outside of your shape, that's what's going to happen to you. So this is the area that God designed you. It's not where you can't stay here all the time. We talked a couple of weeks ago. You want to live here as much as you can. 60-70% is an amazing reality. But that's what we're after. So be aware that when you come home exhausted, see, if you're in your shape, you'll get tired from working hard. But boy, you're sliding through your day because it's working. It's working just as you are. If you live out here, it will wear you out. Okay? So that's kind of what we're talking about. Now, this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to wrap up the fifth component. And we've been going over this for the last several weeks. Let me review, or if you're here for the first time, let me introduce you. But the word shape spells out a little acrostic for these five things. Our spiritual gifts, those are the gifts, the talents, the skills God gave you when you trusted Christ. That moment of salvation, he gave you specific gifts that he uses to build his church, to build his kingdom, okay? Your heart is those passions, that bit of God's heart he took, put it into your heart so that you are inflamed with passion about the things he cares about. Okay, so you have a piece of that passion of God's heart. Your abilities are the things you were born with. You showed up with these aptitudes, these kind of what feel like natural skills that you have had your whole life. Your personality, Tim did a great job talking about that last week. He had his personality on display up here. It was great. There's been so many good conversations this week with people about whether an otter, a beaver, a lion, a golden retriever, you know, and all that kind of good stuff. And so that has been really good. And today we're going to talk about experiences, our history, where we've come. And let me give you a definition for that, all right? Let me tell you how I'm going to think about it today and how I want us to think about it. And experiences are the great story that God is writing in and through my life. Both of those are important. He's writing a story in you, and he's writing his story through you. Okay, the Bible makes it really clear. The Bible refers, page one, that God is our creator. He created all things. But as you go through Scripture, there are all of these different images that the writers use to talk about God's creative work in our life. In the Old Testament, it talks about God as the potter. It sees us as this vessel that he's shaping on the wheel and he's molding. When you come to the New Testament, some of the writers talk about God as a builder, that he designs and constructs our life and grows us up. But woven into the New Testament, several places, God is referred to as the author. Acts chapter 3, Peter's preaching. He refers to Jesus as the author of our lives. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, Jesus is called the author and the perfecter of our faith. And you might remember, if you were here the first week we started the Shape series, and we had this theme verse, Ephesians 2:10, that we are God's masterpiece. We are God's workmanship. And that word workmanship, that word masterpiece, it's in that verse. When you track it back to its original form, it's the Greek word poema, which means poem. And then the idea is that God is writing this beautiful, epic poem that is our lives. And so what we see is that God is the author, that he's writing a story in us. And so God is writing this huge, massive, divine story of his glory, that he's telling this entire story from eternity past to eternity future. It's a story of creation and sin and reconciliation and redemption and Jesus and the cross and resurrection and salvation and glorification. So it's this incredible story, as Milton said, of paradise lost and paradise found, paradise restored. And your story, your individual story that God is writing, is a part of this great story. And you're a theme, you're a thread that rolls through God's story. And your story is a completely unique story. This is one of the ways it makes your shape totally different from everybody else's, because no one has walked in your moccasins. No one has walked in your shoes. No one has lived your life. There are people who have your gift mix. There are people who have your passion. There are people who have similar abilities. There, obviously, our personalities overlap. But nobody's come where you've come from. Nobody has all of these events, these experiences, this whole history that has been woven together and written out and created that makes you the unique person that you are. And through your life, God is teaching us something about himself. As he writes your story, as he molds and weaves this story, we see something of you through you, of him through you that we couldn't see anywhere. You are part of God's great story. You're a theme of it. But real often, we miss that. We miss that we're part of God's story. We just think we're kind of rolling through life, and life is just sort of happening, and we seem kind of common, it seems kind of dull, and we don't see the divine author writing this incredible story. There's this great event in the life of Jacob in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 28. You can look at it later if you want. But there's this great story in the life of Jacob, where Jacob is leaving his home, and he's heading to some distant relatives, okay? He's leaving Beersheba, and he's headed to Haran. He's been to a place he's never been before. And as the story opens, it's really cool the way it's written, because it says that Jacob went, and he stopped at a certain place. And the way that's written is kind of like he just stopped someplace. Just a common place, a no big deal place. He's kind of going along the path, and he just stopped somewhere. And as he stops, it's going to be night. He lays down. He gets a rock for his head. He has this incredible dream that's kind of this Led Zeppelin moment. The Stairway to Heaven opens up, and it's going on up and down. He sees this thing. He sees the glory of God. And he wakes up in the morning with this reality. And here's what he says. He says, you know, how awesome is this place? Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. God was here, but I didn't see it. And that's the reality of our lives. God is in your story. God has been in your story. God has been weaving your past and shaping you and transforming you through all of the things that has taken place in your life. But real often, we're not aware because we don't see that invisible hand of God that is shaping us and molding us. Because God is in that place. God is in that moment. God is in your life. J.R.R. Tolkien, in his Lord of the Rings trilogy, in the second book, The Two Towers, his character Sam, it makes the statement that's at the top of your outline. He says, I wonder what sort of tale we've fallen into. And they're taking a look at their lives as a story. And listen to how the dialogue flows. Because he says that. He says, I wonder what sort of tale we've fallen into. They've been talking about the great stories and wondering if they're in a great story. And he says this. Frodo says, I wonder, but I don't know. And that's the way of a real tale. That's the way of a real story. Take anyone that you're fond of. You may know or guess what kind of tale it is, happy ending or sad ending, but the people in it don't know. And you don't want them to know. You see what he's saying? There is a certain unknownness to us in the middle of our story. God knows the great story. God knows, sees our story unfolding. God's writing this story, but we don't have a clue how this is going to end. right? We only can read the story of our lives looking backwards at our history. It's only when we're able to look back at the events, the experiences, the things that came our way, and it's like, oh, I see what God was doing. Oh, I see how God is shaping me. I see how that's changing me. I see how that prepared me. I see how that made me. And so God is writing this story, your story, that is full of purpose and meaning and direction. And God has made some amazing promises about your story. Because God says, what you see on the screen, God says that my story has purpose, and He is working good out of my experiences. That my story is not random. I'm not pinballing through the cosmos. That there is a divine author who is writing my story as part of the great story. Grab your Bibles, turn over to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. One of the great verses of Scripture, one of the great promises of Scripture, one that many of us have memorized. It's an incredibly famous verse, but it's also one of the verses that's incredibly misused, it's abused, it's misunderstood. And let me just tell you on the front end what this thing is not saying. It's not saying that things work out the way you want them to, right? It's not saying that everything on this planet has a happy ending. It's not saying that. Take a look at what it says. He says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. Look at it one more time. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. So what does this tell us? Well, it says right off the bat, we know. We know. There is a concrete certainty here. There's an absolute certainty. It doesn't say we wish or we hope or we want or we desire. He says, we know for certain, concrete fact, this reality. He says, what do we know? We know that in all things, in all things. What's included in the word all? I looked it up. I checked it all out. The word all means all. All. Everything. What's he saying? We know that in all things, in every moment of our life, in every aspect of our history, every experience that we've ever had, we know that in all those things, God's at work. We know that in all things, everything, your dumb decisions? Yes. Your failures? Yes. Your successes? Absolutely. Your sins? Yes. Okay? And he says in here, what he's saying is all things. This is really important. He says all things. What does that mean? It means that all things happen to Christians. I think sometimes we think, well, there's the stuff that happens to everybody else, and then there's the stuff that happens to Christians. And the stuff that happens to Christians is not as bad as the stuff that happens to everybody else. And so as God is writing this, our lives, this story with the chapters and the events and the characters, that we're going to get a pass on some stuff. And so, you know, all things means good things, bad things, all things are the things that happen to us as Christ followers. We get raises and we get laid off. We have healthy babies and we have miscarriages. We have great marriages, and we have horrendous divorces. We recover from cancer, and we die from cancer. Our kids walk with God and do great and have character, and our kids become prodigals and rebel and break our hearts. All things happen to Christians. I mean, remember, don't ever forget that the disciples, the 12 men closest to Jesus, pretty much all died bloody deaths. They were all martyrs. And he's saying in all the things, in the successes, the failures, the goods, the bads, what's the promise? That God works for the good of those who love Him. Behind the scenes of our lives, God is at work. When the things that are working together, God is working them together. That God fits it all into His plan. It's not saying that everything is good, and it's not saying that God is causing all of the bad things, but it says that God is taking the good, and He's taking the bad, and He's working it, and He's grinding it, and He's molding it until at the end of the day, it turns into something good. And He takes that which is horrendous and transforms it. And this is not a promise just for everybody. Notice what he says. He says, God works for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. It's a promise to believers that you can trust God, that He takes all of the pieces of your story and weaves it and molds it into something good. He works good out of it. Does it happen immediately? No. Does it happen over a long stretch of time? Yes. It's over the totality of your life. And you may not actually see how that good works out. But our experiences, our story, have purpose. And God is doing something good of that. And frankly, I love this. I love this. I mean, it takes the mess of my life and turns it into some kind of a message that makes a difference, right? He never wastes a wound. That there's this overarching plan of God moving so that the bad things are really, as bad as they are, God brings something good out of that deal. And it's for those who love God. You know, if you're thumbing your nose at God, if you're telling Him to take a hike, if you're blowing Him off, this promise does not give you a whole heck of a lot of hope. It's for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And so the promise is that God will take the bad things, the bad parts of our story, all the parts of our story, honestly, and bring something good out of it. Now, I like chocolate chip cookies. I love chocolate chip cookies. And Susan makes chocolate chip cookies a lot of the time, and I love the smell of them when they're going on. I love it when she's making them, and I get in there, and she's got all the ingredients out, and I love it because she's making cookies. And I have burned the roof of my mouth way too many times by taking the molten chocolate and eating it way too soon. But you know, here's the thing about a chocolate chip cookie. When she's getting all the stuff out, now Susan didn't actually make this because she's kind of tied up this weekend. So my good friend Dottie Vise made this particular cookie for me because she likes me. It's very exciting. I'm very excited about this. No, I did not bring enough for the entire class. I'm sorry. I'll give you a crumb later. But see, here's the deal. The individual ingredients are terrible. They taste like turtle spit, right? I mean, you get a big old spoonful of baking soda or baking powder, whichever one you're baking soda, I think. If you put that in there, oh, my gosh. You get a big old spoonful of vanilla extract. It's a little strong, right? The sugar's not bad. The chocolate chips are still, you just go raw right in there, right? I mean, that doesn't matter, you know. But see, here's the deal. You take these pieces. Some of them are good. Some of them are bad. And you mix them all up and you weave it together, you get what? You get this unbelievably delicious chocolate chip cookie. That's what God does with our lives. He takes the ingredients, the not very tasty and the tasty, and He mixes them together, He works them together, He blends them together till He ends up with something that is good. Not something that's just good, something that is very good. He's the master. Now, this morning, what I want to do is while I eat my cookie, I'm going to invite Chyna Living, my good friend Chyna Living. You guys give her a hand. She's going to come up. And Chyna is going to give you a specific illustration from her own life of how God took the good, the bad, and wove it into something beautiful. Thank you, my dear.
Good morning. So God has given me a beautiful story, and I'm going to share it with you. About a year ago, I was on my way to work, driving down East Broussard, and I noticed this lady walking with her two kids on the side of the road. At first, I just thought, that looks kind of unusual. Usually, people don't walk down this road. But I didn't pay it any mind, and I just kept driving. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and He said, "Doesn't that look familiar?" And all of a sudden, I remembered that it did. It looked very familiar. It was me. About 19 years ago, I was in a marriage that my husband was very abusive. And I pretty much lived in fear. On a particular day, after a horrible fight, I was kind of bruised and battered. And I just thought to myself, I've had enough. I need to go. So when he fell asleep, I grabbed my two little kids and I started walking. I wasn't sure where I was going or what I was going to do. And I wish I could say I never went back, but I did. So then the Holy Spirit spoke again and He said, "Go back and get her." And so then, you know, your heart starts racing. Is this you, God? What, you know, what's going on? And the enemy even tried to discourage me from doing this. And he said, don't you think you're taking this Christian thing a little too far? And so I knew then that I needed to go back. There was something he wanted to do. So when I got to the lady and I asked her if I could give her a ride, she got into the car and I looked into her face and it was all bruised. And it was almost as if I were looking in a mirror at myself 19 years ago. When she got in the car, I just felt like God said, don't talk too much and don't ask too many questions. I didn't even get her name. We drove and I just kind of let the worship music just wash over her. And God, he just played just the right songs to speak to her. By the time we got her to a safe place, she was really overcome with emotions. And I've never seen her again, but I think of her often and I pray for her often. I feel like in those moments, God really showed her in a very real way that he cared about her, that he was with her, and he saw her. And I feel like that he showed me that too 19 years ago. He showed me that he was with me then. He cared about what I was going through. And he also showed me that those things that the enemy was trying to use to destroy me, he would use to redeem me. And the experiences, you know, he wastes nothing. And the good and the bad, he's using all those things to shape me in such a unique way that I can truly bring him glory. So, thank you.
Thank you, China. I mean, that's exactly what he does do. He takes the worst and transforms. If he can take a crucifixion and turn it into a resurrection, you know, he takes the test and turns it into the testimony of his glory and grace. And this is how God does this thing. And so our experiences, our story, are filled with all kinds of events like that, that God is using and transforming and changing us. So this morning what I want to do is give you some plot twists. We're going to talk about, I mean, in a story, these are the things that turn, these are the inflection points in the story. These are the things that happen that move the character further along or cause the struggles. But that there's a handful of these things that happen in different ways of looking at it. So we're going to talk for a minute about sort of turning points or things that shape you in your experiences. And the first one is obvious. It's people, right? I mean, they're just, and I'm giving you these. They're real obvious. You could probably figure these things out on your own. But I want to talk about them briefly so that as you look back over your story and go, okay, what people shaped me? These are the characters of your story. And some of them are major characters and some of them are minor characters. Some are people that are there for a lifetime, your parents, your siblings, your grandparents. Some are there for a short period of time. Some of them are positive influences that have come along, a mentor that's built into your life. Some of them are the enemies that you've had, the people who have really challenged you and pushed you and made you struggle. And they're the antagonists of your story that have caused you problems and kind of forced you in some areas. But God has allowed, God has put a unique group of people. He has assembled a one-of-a-kind cast to be part of your story. Nobody else's story has your group of characters in it. Nobody else has interacted with all of the people you've interacted with. And so it is so beneficial to look back and to see which people shaped you. Some of them were in your life for only a nanosecond. They were just really brief. I think back to Lewis Harris that I barely knew the man. But there was an event in my life in high school where he spoke to me and challenged me, and it changed me. And I never had a class with him. He was a choir director. You've heard me sing. You know that's not happening. But there was this one conversation. I knew of him, and it changed me. But there are these people. If you look back and make a list of God, who are the people you have used to shape me, and what have I learned from them? How am I different as a result of that? All right? And so again, some are beneficial, some are harmful, some built you up, some tore you down, but they're all part of your story. All right, second thing is words. There are words in our lives where people have spoken, and these words stick. They get into our brain, they rattle down into our heart, and they stay there. And there are these words that we continue to hear. Some are really great, they're blessings. Some are really painful. They're cursings. Some of them build you up. Some of them tear you down. But some of them, but we don't forget them. And at good times and at inopportune times, those words rise back up to the surface. I think of a little girl talking to her dad and looking out at this, you know, the landscape, kind of a middle schoolish girl or so, elementary school, and she looks out and she says, "You know, Daddy, when I get older, I'm going to marry a lawyer." And then the daddy says, "Daughter, baby, you don't need to marry one. You're smart enough to become one." Changes her life. Think of a little boy, just a little toddler guy. And somewhere along the way, the women of his family as a little toddler say, "You can't come in here anymore," because one of the aunts says, "You know, when you come in here, you start looking at our boobs and whatnot." When they're changing it. And so somewhere in there, here's this message of there's something sexually wrong with you that haunts him for a lifetime. There's a high school student that writes a paper on a topic, and the teacher looks at it and goes, "You know what? You have potential in this area." And it launches a career. A story is born from that one little comment. I know of a young woman who just kind of, you know, just was sort of klutzy along the way, and she kind of kept making these mistakes and kind of screwing up along the way. And all of a sudden, everybody begins to tell her that she's a screw-up. And now as an adult, when she has outgrown all of that stuff in her mind at critical moments in the middle of a business thing or in the middle of an event or in the middle of a relationship, the lie comes back. She says, "I'm a screw-up. I'm going to mess this up." And inevitably, she does. Those words shape us. And you have words that have blessed you and cursed you. You have words that have changed your character. Now remember, the truest thing about you is not what someone else says about you, but what God says about you. Let those words be the ultimate shaper of who you are. But inevitably, those words have to change the words of somebody else. You are who you are because of things that people have said to you along the way. Good and bad. There are defining moments. That's kind of the third plot twister here that kind of moves you on. There are these defining moments when something happens in your life and you know, someone in your family dies, there's an illness, and in that moment you begin to think, you know what, I hate this illness, and a decision is made in that moment that moves you towards med school down the road, right? There's an uncle that sexually abuses you. And in that moment, you make some decisions about safety and trusting men and distance and what life is all about. And you decide that the world is not a safe place. And that moment, this defining moment, shapes you for years to come until the healing of God comes. You know, I mean, a couple of years ago, I took this class up in Dallas at my seminary, and they made us do all this work thinking about our past and whatnot. And I had to do some lifeline work and various things like that. And in the process of it, I had these revelations about my life that I'd never seen before. And let me set you up with this way. Let me ask you this question. How did you become a Christian? All right, think about that for just a minute. How did you become a Christian? Where were you? Where was that? Who was with you? See, here's the reality. You could have become a Christian. God could have brought you into salvation through millions of ways, couldn't he? Any number of people could have spoken into your life. You could have been at any number of events or programs or alone or whatever. You know, I mean, every one of us came to Christ in a very unique way because God chose that way. Have you ever realized that? That defining moment in your life is by God's design, and the way you come to Christ so often shapes you. I came to Christ, as I've told you so many times, through Young Life. Ministry to high school students, a very unique ministry to high school students. There's all kinds of them out there, but this is a unique one. And that grace from God, that was his plan for me. Any way you come to Christ is a good way, right? But that was his plan for me. And that has shaped me. Through that place, that's where my wife came from. That's where it shaped where I went to seminary. It has, you know what, here's the honest truth. I am your pastor today because of a string of events that I can trace back that started with me trusting Christ in Young Life. My story is shaped by that event, and how that event happened marked me going forward. Does that make sense? And so when we can look back at those defining moments and how those things happened and what they looked like, then it begins to shape. We begin to see, God, I see the pattern, the rhythm of my story and what it's all about. Let me give the last one. It's tied to this as well. It's God encounters. God shows up in some powerful way that he moves into your life and he speaks or he moves and you're just never the same. Maybe you're in a Bible study and God just speaks words to you. Maybe you're out alone in the woods and there's that moment when God just pours his love into your life. Go, I really sense the love of God in some powerful way. Maybe it's some event that took place where you're in some service thing or on some mission trip or you're in the event and God moves. You know, years ago, there's a gal driving down East Broussard and she's making her way down. She hadn't been to church in a long time. She kind of blew off the church. She'd been mad at the church for quite a while. She hadn't been to church in forever. And she's driving down right out here, coming past our driveway. God speaks and says, go to that church. And she hadn't been to church. She said it's like God is sitting in the car. Says, go to that church. And so she's obedient. Next week, she shows up here. No idea why she shows up here. She shows up alone. Her family's not coming with her. She's here. Turns out that it's just incredible timing. Amazing timing. Because this is 10 years or so ago when we're just beginning the idea of dreaming up the bridge and what that's going to ultimately look like. And wheels are beginning to slowly turn, ever so slowly. And come to find out that this woman has an incredible heart for inner city ministry. She's been involved in all kinds of inner city programs. She has been trained and all. She's got all of these skills going on, but she doesn't know that. We don't know that. And as things begin to come together, all of a sudden she becomes part of this mix and she becomes the first executive director of the bridge, and her name is Connie Sanders. And you know what? I could tell that kind of story 100 times of how God moves into a life and in a moment speaks. And all of a sudden you begin to realize this is God. And you're never the same. It changes you from that forward moment forward. And God uses these things. He uses the people and these words and the defining moments and the God encounters. And they change us. And again, remember, some are good and some are bad. Some are positive, some are negative. But he uses them all to make that incredible chocolate chip cookie of goodness in your life. So what do? Let me give you 3 action steps to wrap this thing up. And the first one is this, I think most difficult, and I have to embrace my story. I have to actually embrace the experiences of my life. The good ones, the bad ones, the shameful ones, the ones I did right, the ones I did wrong, the happy ones, the sad ones, all ones. I have to stop running from my life. And saying, man, I just wish I had a different life. I don't like my life. I don't like my past. I wish it was all different. I wish I had different parents. I wish I had a different background. I wish that had never happened to me. I wish all this. And we keep looking back at that saying, Lord, I need to somehow go back in time and change those events so that I'm not who I am. And yet that's part of what God is using to make you who you are. And the problem is because of pain, because of all these things, so many of us deny our past or ignore our past or resent our past. Or reject our past, but these are the stories that make us who we are. And if we deny it, if we avoid it, if we reject it, then God can't use it in our lives. Because see, God can use every experience for his glory to change us. And really, what you have to do, I think, is come to some point in your life, and it's probably multiple points, honestly, where you're able to look at your life and say, thank you for my life. I haven't liked it all, and it certainly hasn't all been good, but I have to somehow come to that point where I embrace it, and then I offer it to God. Does that make sense? Where I take it, I go, God, This is the story of my life, and I'm going to offer it to you. And if you want to use this mess it's yours. And you got to own it, because it's your one and only life. And as long as we fight against it, God can never really use it in us and through us. I think the second action step is to learn the lessons of my story. Sit down and ask God to do some reflecting. What does all this mean? Why these events? Why this story? What are you doing? What do I do with this? How did that affect me? How did it bless me? How did it wound me? What are the benefits of the story I've been through? And then you look for patterns. Not all of life is a pattern, but the older I've gotten, the more I've looked back, I can see themes woven through my life that perspective has given me. Of ways that God has used me in different ways. God has worked in me in different ways. And look, because of your story, because of your past, because of your experiences, you are who you are. You have convictions that are at the core of your being, but because of where you've come from. There are tender spots in you where your heart aches for things because of where you've come from. There are strengths in your character that have been forged through the experiences of your story, where you are galvanized and you are strong in that place. And it's because of where you've come from. And you have these relationships through all of that. God, none of that's by accident. And so you say, God, what do I do with this? What are the lessons? What are the themes of my life? And it takes some reflection, maybe talking to other folks. But it makes a difference, because once you begin to see all of that, then there's this part of co-authoring with God the remainder of your story. And then the last one is to use my story for others, right? And I love the whole shape series. I love what we're doing here. But there's a danger. There's a danger in this. There's a dark side. In the dark side of self-discovery, the dark side of recognizing how God made me, is it can become all about me. In self-discovery, my shape can lead me to selfishness if I'm not careful. And so discovery, God's revelation in our life, is always for others. I give away what he's given me. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 is this great passage on dealing with experiences, and it's talking about painful ones. And what God says is this. He says that you've come through these tough experiences, and God comforts you so that you can comfort others. God has worked something into your life that you can give away. You've succeeded so that you can show people how to get there. You have failed to teach people how to avoid it. You have experiences so that you can comfort, or so that you can give wisdom, or so that you can train, or so that you can teach, or so that you can mentor, or so that you can model, or so that you can motivate. There's all of these things. But God has blessed you through your story so that you can bless others and give it away. And the greatest tragedy is to have all of this story happen and it dies with you. And nobody benefits through all that you've been through. And your story is for his glory, and your story is for others. Don't waste your story. Don't hoard your story. You are God's masterpiece. And he has used all of your life to prepare you for this so that you can give it away. So that you can make a difference in somebody else's life. What will you do with that? What will you do with your past? Who will you invest it in? Invested in your kids, certainly. Invested in your family, absolutely. But it doesn't stop there. God has spent a lifetime training you so that you make a difference in every arena of your life. And it doesn't matter if you're 18 or 82. Give it away. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the reality of the promise of Romans 8:28. I thank you, Lord, that that in all things, through the goods and the bads, that you are working all things together for good. Lord, I pray for my friends as we sit here today. None of us have had all good experiences. We all have wounds and heartaches and struggles that we have walked through. Lord, you have blessed us, and there are pieces of our life that are filled with wonder and joy. And Lord, I pray that you would give us eyes to see what you've been doing and a willingness to give it away. Lord, comfort us where we need comfort. Challenge us where we need challenge. Give us discernment to recognize. And Lord, fill us with worship and praise for you, for the life that you've given us. In your name we pray. Amen.